Today's guest on the podcast is Tamara Kelly Washington, winemaker of Saracen Estate. We caught up at the beginning of her tour of London in September 2018, where she tells us her fascinating origin story. We sample a very special 2018 barrel sample of their dry Riesling. She talks natural wine, and we look ahead to upcoming vintages at Saracen. Enjoy.
So I grew up in Marlborough back 80s and 90s, and at this point in time, the grape growing industry was really sort of in its infancy, but exploded as well. So I got into the industry just working in school holidays and vineyards. A lot of my friends were doing that. They were either working in the picking cherries or doing something with horticulture, agriculture. And I also worked for some winery restaurants too on the weekends, which was a lot of fun, but loved science and was really keen to do something science-based, and also very keen to travel. So a undergraduate degree in viticulture and oenology came up at Lincoln University, so I went straight there after school, down to Lincoln, had three great years there, and finished Lincoln and thought, okay, I'm going to have my first vintage experience. Where am I going to go? Went back up to Marlborough, was very, very green student, had my CV with me and visited a few different wineries. Lo and behold, it was Saracen Estate that really caught my attention. It was the first vintage I ever did was at Saracen, actually. So I got hired there. Seemed very cool. There was a great vibe. They were playing more Chiba. Everyone was fun. I thought, wow, this is really cool. So had a great vintage there. Learned a lot. Made a lot of mistakes as well. I think I broke most of the equipment in the laboratory. and from there, I really packed my bag and went and worked in Napa. Went back to Saracen for another vintage, glutton for punishment, of course, and then ended up in the Hunter Valley working assistant winemaker for vintage, and then Margaret River. My mother was living in Australia at the time, so sort of pulled me to Australia and absolutely loved it. Loved Margaret River, learned a lot, you know, working with different varietals. And Marlborough, we were very cool climate oriented, mainly Sauvignon and Pinot at that stage, whereas in Margaret River making Chardonnay and Cabernets, and it was wonderful. And it was there that I met an Australian winemaker who was living and working in Sicily and needed an assistant. So once again, I packed my bag, bound for Sicily. First stop, Palermo, which was quite a culture shock. First time in Europe, and arriving there at the very, very chaotic airport. And then onto the very chaotic highway to drive to the winery. So I ended up staying there for 4 years full-time. My vintage job there developed into a full-time position. So I was really, really lucky and blessed, actually. It was a wonderful life experience, as well as a big wine and winemaking experience. But the life experience of being in my early 20s and living alone in a place like Sicily was huge. Very fond memories there. Lots of friends there still, and in fact, I've gone back there recent times to make some organic wine that I import into New Zealand. So, it's always got a place in my heart. And then after Sicily, I was kind of keen to stay in Italy, but wanted to move north. So I worked in the Veneto area for a couple of sort of longer harvest periods, making wines that were imported back into the UK. Dabbling in some other autochthonous varietals, such as the Valpolicella and Garganega for Suave, which was great, and lots of Pinot Grigio. And then it was time to go back to New Zealand, really. I was very in awe of the success of Marlborough Sauvignon at that stage. It was gaining a lot of traction, and I was blown away by the wines as well that were coming out of New Zealand. So headed back, did a short vintage there, and ended up starting with a company from scratch that was just being developed in the Awatere Valley in Marlborough for Yealands Estates, working with Peter Yealands. sort of stayed there for the journey of that, which was 10 years of building the winery and starting a brand from scratch, which was a great experience. And then I, a few years ago, I had children, and which was another kind of big life moment for me, going from being very career orientated to having two children quite close together, which has been wonderful. So I was mum and decided to start my own brand up as well. So, you know, my time in New Zealand, I really started to follow what was happening with the organic wine production. We made, at Yelands, we made an organic wine, and I was always really impressed with the quality of the vineyard that was managed and farmed organically. So I've been focusing on organic and biodynamic wines for my own brand. And I was making those wines at Saracen, actually, and just this vintage was handed over the reins at Saracen to help them. Saracen had always also remained very in my heart too, I guess, being the first place I ever started working in the wine industry, and I had such a wonderful experience there. And I had also from afar been really impressed with how Saracen, even though one of the most established brands out of Marlborough, was still so relevant and wonderful in the whole you know, the organic and biodynamic focus, the quality of the wines, outstanding, the Pinots, the whites. So it was a real honour to take over the reins, and yeah, it was kind of thrown in the deep end a little bit, starting right on vintage in March, and we had fruit coming in, so it was more about just getting through harvest. And as I said, you know, harvest was fairly challenging in Marlborough 2018, this vintage, but we had some bright and shining moments come through, some really great fruit, and once again it reinforced to me just the benefits and, you know, farming organically, just the quality of the fruit and how much quality and the brightness and vibrancy of the fruit in such a difficult vintage as well. So that was wonderful to see. I'm still there's a big lot of learning for me, and it was great to kind of see and play and, you know, experiment with the fruit. And still the focus is going to be very much honouring the philosophy of Saracen and just as much of a hands-off approach as possible, and just guiding the fruit, wonderful fruit from the vineyard, into the winery and through the winemaking process as kind of as gently as we can, but also learning and just seeing the different kind of styles that we can make, bringing a freshness back into the wines, you know, picking a little bit earlier. And I love acidity. I've always, that's been a kind of, as a winemaker for me, love elegance and acidity and vibrancy. So, you know, and the focus now with Saracen is on the Raupo Vineyard, which is right at the back of the Omaka Valley. And it's been the jewel in the crown for a long time. And I actually remember when I started working for Saracen, Michael, this was back in 2000 when I completed my first vintage, Michael had just bought the land there, and the winemaker took us all up there to have a look, and it was bare land, and we stood at the very top, which is now the Osip Hill where all the Pinots planted. We stood up there and looked down the Omaka Valley back through to Marlborough, and it was just breathtaking. And now to see it all planted and quite established, it's really inspiring. There's the varieties that are planted there too, the big focus on Pinot and Chardonnay, but also the white aromatics and Sauvignon Blanc. So I'm really excited to work with these varietals and that site in particular. We've actually managed to also make a few different wines this year for Saracen. We are getting more into the natural space, so sort of less traditional. We have made a orange wine, which is a Skins fermented Pinot Gris. So we've got some beautiful Pinot Gris that we made, in fact, like we would make a Pinot Noir, really. We destemmed the fruit, and it just rested in a small open-top fermenter for up to 5 weeks on its skins, went through fermentation with spontaneous yeast from the vineyard, and then stayed. Oh no, we pressed it off using a small basket press, which was a lot of fun, a really gentle way to work with this small parcel. And then we just transferred it into old neutral puncheons, larger format oak barrels, for the last 4 months. And now we're just preparing it for bottling, and we're going to, it's literally the ingredients of this wine is the fruit, the grapes, and a very small sulfur addition prior to bottling, but no filtration, no other additions of any sort. So that's fun, and it's beautiful. It's a lovely amber colour. It's certainly Pinot Gris, but a different interpretation. It has this wonderful kind of phenolic structure to it, but still it is elegant, and it is quite fleshy, and it is quite complex, actually. So it's going to be a wonderful drink for the summer. We've also made a Pinot Noir in an amphora clay pot. I had actually already experimented with this with some of my own fruit from Central Otago, so I was really keen to do it for Saracen. And traditionally, the Saracen Pinot Noirs have not been made with any whole bunch included. They've always been 100% destemmed. So we put quite a large proportion of whole bunches in there, about 50%. So it's been made in quite a different way. But it's actually interesting. It's sort of has a developed character to it. We haven't made any additions of sulfur at all, and we're going to try and kind of nurture it into the bottle without any sulfur as well, to be sulfur free. It will just be sold in New Zealand, but it's quite spicy and some beautiful tannins, but it's quite soft, and it feels like it's an older wine, not in a bad way, but it's certainly a different expression of Pinot Noir, and it's wonderful to see it without any oak influence whatsoever, and neither any stainless steel influence, it's the whole amphora. The use of amphora for fermentation and aging is something I'd like to see more of, maybe with some whites as well going forward.
Yeah, well, I've got to say that's, for me, that's one of the best kind of origin stories in terms of integrating your experience into what you're doing now and your history with Saracen. It was, for me, it sounds totally seamless, and almost it sounds like having gone there and then gone away and then come back, it's almost like your story and the Saracen story are like really closely integrated. So it's just, it's just very, very pleasurable to hear how you weave those two things together. But then also, I think, to hear about going away, I've not come across masses of winemakers from New Zealand, and I haven't had enough on the show, but I think it's always very interesting when I hear people who are from New World regions that are classically still kind of stereotyped with the technology label, if you like, having gone away to Sicily and having worked those harvests in America, but then also in Old World places, and having seen those and experienced those things firsthand. I always think it's interesting, and it makes me look forward to seeing what the wine is going to show of that, and really what the philosophy of the winery is going to be going forward.
So I've brought along a wine with me to taste, actually from this vintage, 2018. So it's a sample from the winery, actually. It hasn't been bottled yet. It is a Riesling, a dry Riesling from the Raupo Vineyard. Now, I mentioned before the challenge, it was a fairly challenging vintage in Marlborough, but we had this plot of outstanding Riesling, and so it was just gorgeous tasting the fruit on the vine. It's just exploding with flavour, and it was clean. The acidity was just so precise. So I grabbed the opportunity to make it dry. So it will be released under the Saracen Estate brand, under Saracen Estate, as a dry Riesling. We're going to bottle it in the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks. How we made it was hand harvested, and then whole bunch pressed straight into old neutral barrels, where it fermented naturally in these old oak barrels. Long but quite a very lovely consistent fermentation. And then left in barrel, we... Oh, no. We actually... We racked it once into tank and then back into barrel just to take it off its gross lees. Because I wanted to make... I wanted there to be fruit and I wanted it to be quite clean. And just in the last couple of weeks, we've racked it again out of barrel and it's sitting in tank where it's clarifying naturally. And it will just get a coarse filtration and then it will be bottled. But no, I love the kind of crunchiness of it. It's got some beautiful, those sort of classic citrus notes, but almost quite blossomy as well. And just lovely structure and just finishes with that wonderful, vibrant and very precise acidity that gives it huge drive and direction. Yeah, so super excited to get it into the bottle and out into market.
Okay. So just before I kind of properly taste this, I'm curious to know a little bit about, like, when you bring tank samples, actually, because like early on in my sort of podcast journey, people were giving me tank samples and I kind of didn't really know what they were and hadn't really thought too much about the connection between the tank sample and the finished wine. Could you say something about that? I mean, is in how far away this wine might be from its final version? Just anything that kind of comes to mind on that tank sample question.
Sure. Yeah, so quite often, we'd like to show our wines, even though it's always... It's best to show them once they've been bottled, but we all get a bit excited and we have these new wonderful things that we want to get out, show people. It is quite hard because, I mean, I look at this Riesling and it was taken 10 days ago, a sample straight out of tank. And then we have to think about the travel, even though it travelled across in my luggage. So you want it to be presented, or you want it to be showing itself in its best, the best way it can, the freshest way. So you have to kind of think, okay, well, we have to probably add a bit of sulfur in there to make sure that it remains fresh and doesn't oxidize. And tank samples can be in all various states. Sometimes you can get quite cloudy ones when that particular wine might have quite a while to go before it's bottled. This Riesling, though, and I'm actually looking at it, it looks like it's just come straight from a bottled wine because it's super clear. And it's, I think it was that little racking, extra racking from barrel that we did early on to get rid of some of the, heavier lees. It's actually naturally clarified really, really well. So I'm confident that it can, I mean, all it needs is a coarse filtration and then it will go down the bottling line. And that's going to be in about 6 weeks or so. So it's got some time to clarify even more. Then it will be bottled. So what you're seeing now, I think how I know the wine when I taste it directly from tank, it is more vibrant. I think it's probably looking a little bit shy, but on the nose. But I think the palate is quite consistent to how it is. So it should give you quite a good idea of how it's going to be. Like this, but better.
I got to say, it's lovely. If the final one is better, then all well and good. But this is absolutely lovely. It's super refreshing. I don't have masses to add. A big smile on my face, and very very happy to try this. The only thing is that it's probably arriving in the right time for New Zealand summer, but not necessarily for us. If you're inside by the roaring fire in the winter and you want to start your evening with something light and refreshing, then this is great. I'm really, really enjoying this. I'm keen to not fully open, but just sort of peek into the sort of natural wine discussion, seeing as you mentioned Saracen going and producing the Pinot Gris in quite a natural style. I'm curious, really at a fairly high level, just to get your view, your sense of kind of where that line is drawn in New Zealand and in the region that you're working in.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an area that I'm learning about a lot as well. I think with the Saracen philosophy and Michael's philosophy, and also my philosophy now, is across all the wines we should be doing as much as we can to minimise any inputs, and to guide those wines as naturally as possible from the vineyard, the fruit from the vineyard, and into the bottle. But of course, you know, we need flexibility. Sometimes we have challenging vintages, and we, at the end of the day, I want to make the most delicious wines that I can. But if I can do it without having to adjust things, or, you know, that's even better. But I guess with the wines we're releasing for Saracen, it was about just saying, okay, we've got this great fruit, let's just let it do its thing, like with the Gris. Let's leave it on its skins, because to me, the time on the skins is going to naturally give it more protection against oxidation, and hopefully we can bottle it with much less sulfur than we usually would, and also give it some natural ability to clarify itself really well, so we'll be able to get it into the bottle without filtering it. And even if it is a bit cloudy, so what? It's still going to taste delicious, and, you know, people will still want to drink it, and people will understand in the kind of market that we'll be going for, the kind of consumer. But for me, I don't know, everyone and every winemaker and every wine person probably has a different interpretation of what natural should be. But for me, yeah, it's literally the ingredients in the wine is the grapes, and that's it. And if I would actually like to bottle it also with zero sulfur, but for me, I also have my cautious hat on, and that I also want the wine to, when you get it poured into your glass, for it still to have some freshness and still actually taste like the fruit in the vineyard, not to be kind of oxidized and not attractive. So it's that balance of those two things. And I think natural is, like, we haven't used a lot of sort of high technology either, you know, where we haven't filtered, we haven't made any other additions except a little bit of sulfur, and we've been very hands-on with the winemaking, you know, very manual, you know, doing everything by hand. So it's a very, and even down to the press, using the little basket press. So yeah, I think it comes to you in its natural, most natural form, where it has had nothing really done to it. It's been able to do its thing on its own, and you've just been there guiding it and watching it, and making the right decisions around when the fruit's picked, you know, with the least amount of disease pressure or botrytis, or taking anything that doesn't look good out using a sorting table, select picking in the vineyard, so you've got super clean fruit, and that way automatically right from the start, you're not going to really need to do very much to it.
I'm just going to throw my two cents in on the natural definition, because I know it's one that people do kind of throw around a lot, and I think I've said it before, but I personally see it as a positive that there is no definition, personally, and I think that the reason why I see that as a positive is that it does kind of make you think more. It does make you actually just say, okay, what is natural wine to me, and it's actually okay if your definition there differs from mine. I don't see that that's necessarily a bad thing. And I think the other area where it's a positive, I think it then makes the name and the kind of the style, it makes it less difficult, I think, to be kind of turned into this big commercial thing that's kind of copied and manufactured and rolled out across the world, because there are those parameters put in place, and people then can just sort of try to meet those parameters at the lowest possible cost and at the highest possible volume. I actually think there's some protection to the name and to the ethos if there aren't those kind of, you know, very hard definitions that people can copy for profit, if you like. So just, yeah, to close out today, I think it's really interesting to sit down with you at this stage as you are, kind of, you know, coming back and having, as I mentioned before, been in Saracen at various points along the past. So yeah, and just at this stage, invite you to look ahead in the sort of few months or few years, and you know, just let us know what you think might be and what you know is coming down the track.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, now that the sort of dust has settled after vintage and we have a little bit more time to reflect, and I love this time, especially because you are crafting the wines and guiding them into bottle now, and you start to really think about the wines you've made and where you're going and the future. And it is a really super, super exciting time for Saracen because now, as I said, the focus is totally on the Raupo vineyard, which is the jewel in the crown. It always has been. It's the best one. It's where the top Pinot and Chardonnay come from. And actually, the Sauvignon this year from the Lily block at Raupo really stood out as one of the top Sauvignons that we made. So that was super exciting to see that actually we can also produce really good Sauvignon from Raupo. But with it, yeah, it's a new team at Saracen as well, and a new kind of fresh take and perspective, which I think is always good, you know, for a company to sort of stop and have a relook. And I, without a doubt, the quality now with the vine age and the focus, you know, and the rigor, the quality that's going to come from the vineyard is, yeah, I can't believe I have the opportunity to work with this fruit. And so I think we want to build on what we, you know, the great wines and the great reputation that Saracen has always had and still has. But we also want to kind of move with the times, as I said, you know, looking at these natural wines that we're making and improving on those. Also, really focusing on the Pinots. Saracen's always made quite a lot of Pinots, actually, which is a good thing because we're, you know, making lots of different single vineyards. But now with the Raupo vineyard, we're really going to sort of focus on making 4 Pinots. So I think automatically the quality will, and with the vineyard and what we're doing, the quality will kind of just build on what it has been, which is great. And also bringing that vibrancy and freshness into the wines. And I don't want to say it's an open page, a blank page, because it's not. There's already such a story that's already been written by Saracen, but definitely a new chapter, which is exciting.
Thank you so much to Tamara for making the time to meet with me. It was a real pleasure. And if you did miss it, I've already interviewed Michael Saracen for the podcast, his episode number being 131. I've left below the website and all the social media for Saracen. And I'd love to have you following along with me. I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and hello at interpretingwine.com. See you next time.